Chapter 1. The Dust Bunny was back. Sedona heard the soft, muffled chortle and rushed to the barred door of the small, windowless chamber. The lab was deserted for the night, but there was ample illumination. The aliens had vanished a few thousand years ago, but they had built their maze of underworld catacombs to last. And they had left the lights on. The quartz walls of the small cell and the chamber that housed Dr. Blankenship's research equipment glowed with an acid green radiance. Because of the constant light, it was impossible to tell whether it was day or night up on the surface. But she was pretty sure it was night, because Blankenship's two seriously bulked up assistants had left a while ago, talking about dinner. The pair had names, but she had privately decided to call the one with the short, razor-cut hair Buzzkill. The other man had completely shaved his head. She had named him Hulk. They wore a lot of khaki and leather, but even without the clothing cues, she would have known that they were ghost hunters. She had worked with guild men often enough to recognize them when she saw them. One big clue was that they were obsessive about their amber. They wore amber in every conceivable way, in their belt buckles, in their earring studs, in the hilts of their knives. She knew they probably carried more amber as backup in their boots. No self-respecting guild man ever went down into the catacombs without plenty of amber, and all of it was tuned. Good amber, set to the correct frequencies, was the only way to navigate in the heavy currents of senses-distorting sigh that flooded the alien tunnels. Lose your amber, and you were lost forever. She heard another muffled chortle. This time it came from beneath one of the lab workbenches. There was a flash of motion near the floor. The Dust Bunny scurried out from under the bench and fluttered across the room to the door of the cell. He looked like a large ball of fuzzy dryer lint, studded with a pair of baby blue eyes. There were six paws and a couple of ears, but they were nearly invisible in the fluff of his fur. At some point, she had decided to call him Lyle. She wasn't sure why. The name just seemed to fit, and giving the Dust Bunny a name served to make him seem more real. She needed all the solid, tangible links to reality that she could get. Last night, when Lyle had first appeared, she had still been fighting her way up through the thick layers of the drugs that Blankenship used to keep her heavily sedated in a waking dream state. She had no idea how long she had been held prisoner. Her days and nights were filled with nightmares and disturbing visions. At first, she had assumed that the Dust Bunny was just one more hallucination, albeit a comforting one. She had wondered if it was a sign that Blankenship's experiments had finally pushed her over the precarious border between sanity and chaos. Lyle had appeared thrilled with the energy bar that she had given him from the stash in the cell. He had squeezed easily through the bars in the door and hopped up onto the cot. He had chattered at her with increasing urgency until she finally realized that he was trying to get her to leave. "I can't go anywhere," she had explained. "The door's locked." She had sat beside him for a long time, taking comfort from him. He had departed shortly before Buzzkill and Hulk returned. There had followed another horrible day of Blankenship's experiments. It had taken every ounce of willpower she had to fake the waking dream state. What she really wanted to do was scream her rage and claw Blankenship's eyes out of his head. That night, she had despaired of ever seeing Lyle again. But he was here. Her spirit soared. "Hi," she whispered. She crouched and reached through the bars to pat Lyle. "Good to see you again, buddy." Lyle rumbled. He had a small, shiny, metallic object about an inch and a half long clutched in one paw. He fluttered through the bars, bounced up onto the cot, and waved the bright thing at her.